Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. One more week. I'm then about 2 weeks waiting for the outcome. But anyway, one more week.
Yes, one more a week. A one and a two. What was that guy's name?
That was Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk. A one and a two. And a three.
You're bringing back some memories there again. That's a long time ago.
I liked Lawrence Welk. Couldn't remember his name, but I liked Lawrence Welk. I didn't watch it when I was a child, though. I thought it was horrible. My grandmother, oh my gosh. I think all of our grandmothers played it and when he was on and so forth, and it was just like dreadful. It's like, but then as I got older, I enjoyed watching him, and I like watching the old shows now. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. At least you can watch them without being embarrassed in front of your children.
Yes.
You know, seriously. The old shows, I mean, they were some stupid shows as far as ignorant. I mean, Green Acres, for example. And I loved Hank Kimball. Remember him? He couldn't put a sentence together, kind of like Trump or like Biden. But anyway, I enjoyed that idea. I mean, those are shows that you could watch and laugh at, and nothing was ever on there. You had to be embarrassed to watch.
Oh yeah, the you can't compare today's programs. You know, yes, we're older, and yes, our tastes are different than the young people today, but. You know, that was true humor. I mean, when you look back and you look at all those new sitcoms, the Lucy, just all of them.
Father Knows Best compared to Roseanne, for example. Roseanne's getting old, but Father Knows Best. I mean, Father Knows Best. The title itself tells you how backward it is today.
Yes, it is. Anyway. Mercy. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a look and see what the gold prices are. They're having a little bit of a turnaround today. Gold is up $5.10 right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, $1,908. Silver is up 16 cents at $24.50. Platinum is up $10 at $886. But palladium is down 31 at $2,362. The USDX today is down 0.11 at 92.96. Crude oil is up 88 cents at 39.44. Paper markets did a reversal here late in the day. There was pressure on it all day long. They were trying. The Dow was trying. Right now, you might still see some numbers come through. It's down 222 points, 27,463. But the NASDAQ was up 72 points at 11,431. And the S&P was down 10 at 3,390. 10-year yield, that dropped 0.78%. And it was quiet overseas. Everything was pretty much all under 1%, except for London was just slightly over. So, and it's just... I hate to say it, Butch. It's just because it's not good for radio, but it's pretty much the same old thing until after the election. Yep. Then I think things are going to probably get a little serious when people finally begin to think about what's going on.
Other than politics, there's not a whole lot of news to talk about. I mean, that's dominating everything.
You know? There is. You have Remington Arms, the oldest U.S. gun maker. Well, they're going to lay off 585 employees in New York, almost 600 employees. We're told Friday they would be terminated effective Monday. The company is refusing to pay severance and accrued vacation benefits, and this is according to a statement from the United Mine Workers. So that's news. You have Studio Movie Grill. They file for Chapter 11. Dine-in movie theater chain Studio Movie Grill. They filed for Chapter 11 protection on Friday. The 33-unit Dallas-based chain said the bankruptcy filing said in the bankruptcy filing that it intended to maintain operations as the debtor in possession during the restructuring of its debt. That's what the United States is going to do soon, to restructure their debt. And let's see, over 42,000 people are enrolled in Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine trial. Yippee, who are these 42,000 people? What I want to know. How broke are they?
Good question. And we do know that Barrett was confirmed to the Supreme Court. We know that.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So it's a good thing, I think. We'll find out soon. But so it was a 52-48 vote. It was the closest high court confirmation ever to a presidential election, the closest vote, I should say, at a closer election. And the first one in modern times with no support for the minority, not one vote from the Democrats. So, you know, we'll see. But the court and what were they saying, that go ahead.
I'll tell you what, I just watched a little bit of her hearings, and I'll tell you what, she impressed me. And, you know, it's funny, I had a conversation with a Democrat, and they were telling me that, oh, I needed to vote for Biden because, you know, he's a nicer man, nicer person, and so forth and whatnot, and, you know, whatever. So when she was confirmed, I says, well, you know, you got to like Amy. She's really a nice person, you know. You can't call her racist. You can't do this. She didn't answer any questions. What do you mean she didn't answer any questions? Oh, I mean, that's how the Democrats are. I mean, it's just like 1 minute. It's like, how could you say she's not a nice person? I mean, they're just the most hateful. And I'll tell you what Schumer said, he should be kicked out of office. He basically threatened the next group of Democrats, once they take control, he says, you better watch out.
Yep.
I mean, that was his reference. You better watch out. To me, that's a threat.
Well, Pelosi's mouthing some of the same things, the same direction. They're getting very bold and very outspoken. And of course, if you believe the polls, Biden's got it made. I mean, he's going to win by a landslide according to the polls. So if you believe that, I don't believe that, but that's what the polls are saying. For Barrett to be confirmed, we'll see what happens with abortion now and the Affordable Care Act and all that. That's kind of up in the air. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I really cannot say about the woman yet. I don't know her record that well as far as being a judge in the past. I do know she voted not so conservative on several things. I did check that out. But overall, I don't know what she's like. And we'll find out real soon because she'll soon be taking office in the Supreme Court. They're holding up, you know, a position in the Supreme Court. We'll soon find out. We'll find out. And I'm kind of amazed that there hadn't been more of an uproar already because people, you know, were so much opposed to this. We'll see what comes out of that too. But the Democrats are getting very mouthy and very, very outspoken to the point I would think that there'd be somebody arrested for saying some of the things they're saying.
I know.
If we said it, we'd be arrested.
I mean, wouldn't that be part of, I don't know, I know treason is not the, you know, proper, but I mean, you're threatening to, it doesn't matter what their job, of course, when did it matter, but I'm just saying.
Well, it's a terroristic threat. Well, I mean, that's what they would accuse us of, a terroristic threat. Yeah, that's what that is. That's a terroristic threat. We're going to get
against the country. Yeah, against our Constitution.
Exactly. That's right.
Because they're going to hold the Republicans hostage and not allow them to, and instead of putting the country's best interest at heart, they're using this to blackmail, to some sort of revenge. Good grief.
I've never seen such anger being vented and actually saying out loud. I mean, maybe they may have thought of it. It used to be they didn't say those things. I mean, decent people didn't mouth those things. But it doesn't seem like it bothers anybody more. There's such hatred there, such bitterness. And maybe on both sides somewhat, but the Democrats for sure.
Oh, I know.
It's just bitterness.
It is. Well, you know, so I did vote today. I voted today.
Did you?
And I did. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's just so much hate anymore. It just amazes me.
It is. It's heartbreaking.
That people
it truly is. We used to be Americans. We used to be Americans. And we used to be Americans no matter what. We stood together in some areas, you know. There was a time there were no white Americans, Afro-Americans, or Native American, Native Americans. We're just Americans. No one considered, you know, Italian Americans or Polish Americans. We were Americans.
Well, we were Americans, but we could also differ from one another. We could also disagree with one another, and that was okay.
But you had your views, I had my views. Yeah, but we didn't threaten each other with hate. It is. When I went in the military in 1971, there was all different kinds of people in there. No one paying attention. The name or where it come from. We were all wearing green, and we all were shaved. I mean, bald headed. So we all looked basically the same. Whether you're black or white, made no difference. That's just what we did. We were together, in that together. But that's certainly changed since then. It really has.
And it's really sad. And you can hear. Oh, if something goes wrong, it's like, oh, those Republicans or those conservatives. It's like, you know, I had another conversation. Yeah, I can talk to people without getting mad, and I allow them to speak, you know, because I like to listen to what they have to say, even though it just, it just goes up my spine. It just goes up my spine. But I do listen, because that's the only way. We just have to listen and figure out a way to maybe change their minds. But again, it was someone who was, they're both bad, but I got to vote for one. And I just can't deal with President Trump anymore. I just can't tolerate him. And I'm thinking, but it shouldn't be about whether you like a man or not. It should be more about the issues of this country is what you should be voting about. It's not a personality contest, and that I'll agree with. So you do have to look past the issues. I mean, you have to look past the personality. And I mean, I'm not a fan of President Trump. But, you know, he did do some things that were decent. Some other things I don't think he did so well. But he's going to be a far better cry than Biden. I hate to say it.
Oh, Melody. You just got yourself in trouble again.
Did I? I didn't mean to.
You chose sides.
Which side did I choose?
You said he's a far better cry than Biden. So apparently you vote for Trump.
I didn't say that.
So you just chose... I know you didn't say that, but come across like that.
But I certainly wouldn't vote for Biden. Good grief.
So anyway, what can I say? It is what it is. It's sad, but that's what we got. That's what we got.
This is the first...
all this come together with...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is the... Well, are you going to let me stick my foot in my mouth again? This is the first... This is the first time that I didn't like voting. I mean, I did it because it's what I'm supposed to do, but I didn't enjoy it. I usually enjoy voting because there is optimism, and then there's hope, and you know, you're thinking you're there to get the better man or woman, and so yeah, I've always enjoyed voting. Not so much this time, but anyway, enough about me.
Enough about you. Okay, well, I'll enjoy voting for the ones I can vote for. I'll put it that way. But some I can't. But back to some financial news. You probably saw this, but you know the renters' moratoriums where the renters hadn't so much time to pay their rent and catch up the rent is about over. You know that. Mm-hmm. It says struggling rental market could usher in next American housing crisis. Now, I think about this. I do. By the grace of God, I have a home. It's paid for. A lot of people don't. So millions of renters are behind on the payments. Mass evictions could come soon. Some 30 to 40 million people from New York City to San Francisco face potential for eviction once moratoriums expire, according to estimates. So the housing crisis centered on the vast apartment and home rental market is emerging in the U.S., threatening to send millions of renters into eviction and leave landlords short billions of dollars. A A large number of renters have been unable to pay some or even all of their rent since March, with the pandemic temporarily shut down most businesses. Many businesses remain closed or only partially open, pushing renters into unemployment and draining their savings. Federal and local eviction moratoriums have protected many of them from losing their homes if they miss payments during the pandemic. But the national eviction ban is, and some cities, state and city bans or protections are set to expire by January or sooner. Renters will then be on the hook for months of missed payments, which even those who have jobs could struggle to pay. Estimates to total of total outstanding rent debt vary widely. Yet by any measure, the fallout from missed rent payments is bound to imperil a large swath of U.S. population and worse over the border, over the broader economy. This, I know I keep saying this, but I really feel for those if the people that are really trying to make it, and they lose their home or apartment. Where are they going to go if they have no family? What's going to happen to them? And if they have children and they have no place to go, these things, it does trouble me, Mildy, to think about somebody, a family out there, that they no place to sleep with children to feed. That bothers me. I don't think it's right that they would make the landlords eat it, so to speak. They have to do without. That's not right at all. But it still bothers me that these people may not have a place to go to sleep starting the first year. That does bother me. Have any comments on that?
Well, you know, they've already been doing the large corporate landlords. They have filed 10,000 eviction actions in 5 states since September.
Yep.
And I mean, this is going to, oh boy, I get goosebumps about it. But, you know, I was reading from early September to October 17th, despite the eviction ban, almost 10,000 of these actions have been filed in 23 counties in Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas by these large corporate landlords. And after at least one landlord group lobbied the Trump administration, the CDC clarified its ban on October 9th, opening the door for more such actions. New eviction filings have jumped since then. Court records show during the week of October 12th, for example, almost 2,000 proceedings were recorded in the 5 states, almost twice the number from the previous week. And, of course, the evictions are part of a database compiled by the Private Equity Stakeholder Project, a nonprofit that examines the impact of private equity on communities. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. You know, we're not going to spend any more time on this, but, you know, and we were talking about how these large corporate landlords have already filed 10,000 evictions on five states just since the middle of September. And, you know, large landlords filing numerous evictions include prosperous U.S. public companies like Invitation Homes. They own and lease 80,000 single-family homes nationwide. The company is thriving. Its earnings rose by 54% for the first months of the year, and its stock price has jumped by 80% since the market bottomed out in March. Court records show 122 eviction filings by Invitation Homes in the five states during that period. So, you know, it's going to be... there's another one, Progress, a large and well-funded landlord, owns and leases 40,000 single-family homes nationwide. It is owned by Pretium Partners, a $3 billion hedge fund that invests in distressed properties. And you know what? I remember having a conversation, Butch, a long time ago, right after the housing during the housing Great Recession. And I was talking to a banker, a mortgage banker in Las Vegas. And he says, what's going to bring the mortgage company down, what's going to bring this country down financially is going to be the real estate. And he talked, we talked about these hedge funds that were buying up all of these distressed properties. And the idea was, it's all great when things are doing well, but wait until these people can't pay their rents. And then what's going to happen? And this is what we're going to expect. It took 10 years. This is why you're seeing all these, Pretium Partners owning, just thousands and thousands. Progress, 40,000. And nobody's going to comment on them. They're bleeding dry. And they're going to evict these people. And you think these hedge funds really care about what they do to the economy or to the people involved in them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, and you know what? This Pretium, the company that owns Progress Residential, guess who there is overseen by Donald Mullen? Guess what? He's a former Goldman Sachs partner who headed the bank's mortgage and credit operation until he left in 2012. So, you know, it's done to people, Butch, time and time again. You have the Carlyle Group. How many times have we talked about the Carlyle Group? Bob Chapman. They're just one of the elites. They're all the elites. They get all these government welfare tax breaks.
Benefits. You know, and you're right. These people are not going to hurt. The ones I think about is are the low landlords own two or three properties, you know, just trying to keep extra money coming in. Those are the ones going to kill. The corporations are not bothered by this, Melody. You know that already. They're going to prosper anyway.
And then you have the tenants who are out of work because of shutdowns. They can't pay. They're struggling to pay. The CDC estimates that up to 40 million people could lose their homes without eviction protections in place. 40 million. What do you think that's going to do to this nation? Good grief.
You know, and I don't mean to pick on corporations necessarily, but this next article I'm going to share, it's just stunning. Bonuses before bankruptcy. Companies doled out millions to executives before filing for Chapter 11. Now, this is just not right. The coronavirus recession tipped dozens of troubled companies into bankruptcy, sending off a rush of store closures, furloughs, and layoffs. But several major brands, including Hertz Global, JCPenney, and Neiman Marcus, doled out millions in executive bonuses just before filing for Chapter 11 protection, according to the Washington Post and an analyst of regulatory filings and court documents. Charles Grupa, AP, 5 days before seeking Chapter 11 protection, JCPenney awarded $7.7 million in bonuses to its top four executives. $7.5 million between top four executives. The retailer, which hasn't turned a profit since 2010, entered bankruptcy with more than $8 billion in debt. Since the pandemic took hold in March, at least 18 large companies have rewarded executives with six- and seven-figure payouts before asking bankruptcy courts to shield them from landlords, suppliers, and other creditors while they restructured, the Post Review found. That they collectively meted out more than $135 million, documents show, while listing $75 billion in debts. So they hand out $135 billion in bonuses and show debts $79 billion, and then they declare bankruptcy. Now, I can understand a severance pay. Maybe I can see that. But come on. That kind of money out to executives, $7.5 million to four executives. How about the people that work the floor, folks? They made $10 an hour. What'd they get out of it? The shaft. I understand severance pay, and I say the guys shouldn't have had something. But they shouldn't divide $7.5 million up between four people and give the rest of the company workers the shaft. Maybe that just isn't right.
No, it isn't, but I agree. But what are you going to do?
That's corporate, but that's just greed beyond words.
It is.
It should be taken into consideration by the bankruptcy courts. If they knew they did this, they should take into consideration and say, you can't do that. You can't declare bankruptcy when you giving up money like that to people that, just as a bonus. You can't. That's not a good thing for the courts to even consider that kind of bankruptcy. That's so unfair. And it's just downright cheating.
It is, and that's why all these laws and legislation is written to, to advance the desires of all these multinational corporations, the elite, the wealthy, and yada yada. I mean, it truly is disgusting anymore.
Well,
it's evil.
Some
it's
poor
evil.
Mama or daddy or commendation. Yep. Are not working and they're trying to figure out how to put food on the table. I mean, we already know this. We've discussed before the food banks are about overrun. I mean, really, they're overrun. They're running out of food in some places, and that's the truth. They can't keep up with it. And when we see this, and we see these people in line trying to get food to feed the family, but these executives walk off splitting about $2 million apiece. There's something wrong.
And
with
those
that
bonuses
picture.
Are really kind of low to some that I have seen.
Oh, I'm sure, but that's still a lot of money for a bankrupt company.
Low.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe I could survive on $2 million for a few months.
And that's after the millions that they've made and so forth. But, if they do a great job and they've done well for the company, but the company wouldn't be filing bankruptcy if they were doing such a great job.
I agree.
So, they get the rewards for running the cut, And, sure there might have been some situations that were beyond their control. But anyway. Well, there was a survey, Wallet Hub. And this will be the first Halloween that's less than a week. Well, it's a couple days away. A new Wallet Hub study finds that consumers are still spending billions of dollars on the holiday. But the new survey, a whopping 130 million Americans think that the virus is the scariest thing about Halloween this year. Nearly 40% of Americans are more afraid of credit card debt than the virus. So almost 40% are more scared of credit card debt than the virus, in part because of political allegiances, but also due to the fact that credit card debt might seem more tangible to an indebted individual who has yet to know someone with COVID. Number one, I can't believe there's even a survey, but The survey found that the pandemic has led to an increase in the number of consumers experiencing money-related worries. Concerns about money problems are hitting 22 million more people this year than last. Close to 90% of Americans think that politicians prey on people's financial fears. That's interesting. 90%. Roughly 13 million more Americans are scared about their kids' financial futures in 2020 than in 2019. And almost 33% of people think their finances are a personal horror show. So that's the strength of your finance. That's the strength of your country financials. It's anyway.
Yeah. Even Las Vegas is getting hit. Sin City, I guess you'd call it. A guy named Edelson, Adelson, is cashing out of Vegas. Cashing out of Vegas would come at a trying time for the city. After decades as one of the biggest magnates on the strip, presiding over properties like the Venetian and before that the Sands, an old stomping ground of Frank Sinatra, the billionaire's love affair with Vegas appears to be ending. As Bloomberg reported Monday, Edelson has hired an advisor to sell his property in the city, asking price $6 billion. A sale of the resorts, which is far from certain, could come at a difficult time for America's gambling capital. The city has been hit hard by the coronavirus, with the visitors down 55% this year, and casino average on the strip, famous strip, off 45% through August. So he's asking $6 billion for his business holdings on the strip. I'm just wondering who will buy them when the business is down 50%. Who's going to buy them? Just curious. $6 billion is a good chunk of change. So it just makes you wonder. But the Las Vegas, when people quit gambling and partying, they must be broke. That's all I can say. So it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of billionaires in this world. We're a hedge fund, right? Let's get a hedge fund get involved in a casino. I'm sure they already are somewhere. So
what? Well, I don't gamble. I don't go out and party like that. I don't think it's a good thing to do. But the point of it is, some people did make a living there. Regular people, make a living there. So they're out of work, and the city's going down. It's getting so bad that this story kind of touched me, because Salt Lake Tribune, they stopped printing daily paper after 149 years, Melody. Said the Salt Lake Tribune announced Monday it would stop printing a daily newspaper at the end of the year after nearly 150 years and move to a weekly print edition. The change won't result in cuts in the newsroom staff, about 65 people, though some would be redeployed, the newspaper reported. Reporters and editors will continue to file breaking news online as it happens. The new publication will be delivered by mail. Nearly 160 press operators, carriers, and other employees will lose their jobs. So 160 people losing jobs there, but after almost 150 years, a newspaper shutting down from a daily newspaper. How many years was that a tradition? How many newspapers were there? Every town had a newspaper. Everyone. We had Charleston Gazette and the Charleston Daily Mail and the Beckley paper, and they're just disappearing. That's no longer even. Nobody ever buys or reads papers anymore. I guess you go online and find news. But that's a tradition that's gone. It's really a sad thing to see pass after 150 years. It is.
It really is. But people, businesses pulled their ads. Because it was better to go online and so forth. So, at one point in time, perhaps it was the loss of jobs was due to manufacturing leaving this nation. The next issue is basically computers online. Mm-hmm. Look how many jobs have been lost. Not just the newspaper business, but look how many jobs have been lost due to the internet, to be able to buy online, to read online. And the thing of it is, it used to be a newspaper that you used to get didn't have opinions. They reported the news.
Yeah.
Now online, all people get is people's opinions. And it's the same opinion. If people had different opinions, that would be great. But it's, you know, you have the conservative opinion, then you have the, you know, the liberal opinion. And it's the same thing day in and day out, hour after hour, minute after minute. It baffles me how this, the same topic can be discussed 24/7. It amazes me. You'd think they would get tired of talking about it.
The news, I think, sometimes beats something down because that's the hottest thing at the moment, or they cover up something else. You know that, you know they'll do one story to hide something else too. Man, that's just the way it goes. You know, I mean, they will do that, and they do it quite often. It's called the shuffle, I guess. You know, they can play on one thing and let other things slide. They've been doing that for years. Mm-hmm. And if they want to take somebody out, they want, if they may not, I mean, I'm not a trumpeter, but Trump has been hammered and hammered and hammering since day one in office. You know that to be true. Whether it's all part of a plan or really they hate him, which I think they do, they've hammered the poor guy every day. Everything he done, if he sneezed, he did it wrong. You know, everything he did. Some things he did do very stupid, like tweeting everything he thought 24/7. That's stupid. But he did do that. But every move he made, though, he was criticized for it. So that's, I don't know what the purpose of that was, other than to try to belittle the man, maybe change his course, I don't know. But the news, to me, is something that, if I do watch it, I'll take it with a grain of salt and try to find out the truth behind what they're talking about. And that's what I do. I don't just take the word for it. I just don't do it.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I don't either. And but anyway, what's next? We got about 40 seconds.
40 seconds. I'll cover next talk very quickly. We're going to discuss a little bit about the election and the voting. Voting machines can't read mail-in ballots. 22,000 affected so far. This is in Texas. The problem has impacted more than 22 ballots so far. Ballot board members are now working in 12-hour shifts to accurately replicate their ballots so they can be counted. They can't read the strip on it, the ID strip, the barcode. They can't read it. So they can't read them to understand what the vote is. I don't understand if they can see the votes. If they can see how they voted, what's the bar strip for? Maybe I'm not thinking as clearly, but what's the bar strip for? What's it for? I don't understand. If they can see how they voted for whoever they voted for, why did they need a bar strip?
You just log it down, mark it, and move on?
Yeah, move on. That's what I would think. Anyway, we'll go back more in a minute.
Hey, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. Won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today plate complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. Butch?
Yes, yes, yes. We were talking during the break, of course. Folks, you don't get to hear all that. You missed the best part of the program during the break. But anyway, we're discussing, you know, that Gore and Bush, we didn't know the winner of that election until a month and a half later, December 13th, I think it was, when they finally came out with who won that election between Gore and Bush. So this is not the first election that may be delayed as far as coming out, but this has been the most hateful election, spiteful election, most contentious, and maybe the most stressful election. So this could make a difference. If they have to wait a week, 2 weeks, it can make it very hard. But vote by mail window may be closed, advocates say, urging ballot drop-off. So delivery by U.S. Postal Service remains slow despite the intervention of federal judges. And some voting advocates by say ballots not in the mail now may not arrive in time to be counted and should instead be dropped off at the voting facilities. Now that could be a serious situation. People that vote now, it's a week away. Why won't it get there in time? Well, they said they may not get there in time. And I don't know what federal judges can do to make post office getting faster anyway. I don't know how that works. But anyway, the persistent delays include poor on time statistics in Philadelphia and Detroit, cities and states considered crucial to the November 3rd contest. Late ballots face disqualification. Don't put it in the mail. Not at this point, says Susan Amelia, interim executive director of the policy group Common Cause in Pennsylvania. We're at that point where if you can drop it off in person, it may not get there in time to be counted. Now,
all right.
So that is interesting. So, I mean, they got a week. I guess it takes them a week to get a ballot from one place to another inside the state of Pennsylvania and Michigan, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, the thing of it is, I mean, they're mailing it within the state. There isn't any reason why it shouldn't get to point A to point B relatively quick. It's not like you're mailing it from California to Timbuktu.
I agree. But so, tell me how a federal judge getting involved in this is going to make the post office speed up.
Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Get your butts out. If you don't want to go in, stand in line, you fill it out, and you drop it at the box. It's that simple. And it's just like people just need to have things complicated. You know? It always has to be, no. Get out there and vote. It's that simple.
Don't drag your feet. Just get it done.
Don't drag your feet. If you want to wait till Tuesday, so be it, but get out there. If you don't want to go, don't procrastinate and mail it on. And you know what? I'll guarantee you there's people that will mail it on Election Day. Just to be ornery, probably.
So, but didn't they make allowance for that? Didn't the court rule somewhere that they can mail it on that day and be counted later? Wasn't that a ruling that as long as it's sent by Election Day, and then if it counted that day? Did I hear that wrong?
Oh, I don't know. There's been so many different rulings and so forth, I couldn't recall at the moment. I mean, usually, well, I know in local elections, lots of times if you vote early, there are cutoff dates to make sure that it is received, your mail, and it is received by the day, by Election Day. So that's the way it should be. If they don't have it, it shouldn't be counted. It's your responsibility, not their responsibility, to say when and it can be received by you. That's the whole thing again, you know? Nobody's ever held accountable for what they're supposed to do. We all have deadlines. Obey it. Do it. Well, I shouldn't say obey, but do it. So anyway.
Well, if you want to vote,
be responsible.
Yes. Do it. And this article, I don't know, everywhere you turn, the Republicans are going to get tore up in this, according to some of these polls. The Republicans are going to lose Senate. They're going to lose more in the House. And Trump's going to lose big time. This is all being said. But anyway, this article says Republicans could suffer from Chinese companies' failure to buy Montana beef. The deal seemed like great news for Montana ranchers. Chinese retailer JD.com had promised to buy $200 million worth of beef and spend an additional $100 million building a slaughterhouse in the state. But nearly 3 years after the accord was announced on the sidelines of President Donald Trump's first official visit to Beijing, the big orders have not yet to materialize, and there's no sign of any new market meatpacking plant coming. So it makes you kind of wonder. I mean, that is sad. I mean, the state with no more population than Montana, that's a big deal. And they do sell beef. $2 million worth of beef not being sold and the meatpacking plant not being built. But they're blaming on the Republicans. I don't know how that works exactly. Why is it Republicans' fault, Mildy?
I don't know. Maybe because you're... I mean, it's going to be built by what? The Chinese government?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it shouldn't be built anyway.
But I can't tie that together, Republicans or Democrats, as far as that goes. I don't know why they're blaming anyone for that. If the Chinese going to do it, I mean, if they don't do it, it's not the Republicans or Democrats. It's not us. It's
well, I mean, we've gone after Huawei. We've gone after Huawei. And, you know, you call the president of China scumbag and whatever. I don't think it's good for relations. I mean, I don't know if that was it, but you know,
it is a sad situation of people that, you know, do count on kind of things and they don't get it. That does hurt.
It does,
and of course,
hurt.
It does hurt, and we all know what's happening out west. I think by the grace of God, Colorado got some snow. It may help squelch some of these fires. My son lives in Colorado Springs, which has been a red flag zone now for, gosh, a month and a half. But utility says its equipment may have sparked California blaze. Now, this is nothing they knew. It happened last year also. Matter of fact, some of them were talking about cutting power off to certain areas of the state to keep from causing fires. But anyway, Southern California Edison said its equipment may have sparked a fast-moving wildfire that forced evacuation orders for some 100,000 people and seriously injured two firefighters on Monday as powerful winds across the state prompted power to be cut to hundreds of thousands to prevent such a possibility. A smoky fire exploded in size to over 11 square miles after breaking out around dawn in Orange County, south of Los Angeles. Gusts pushed flames along brushy ridges in Silverado Canyon and near houses in the sprawling city of Irvine, home to about 280,000 residents. There was no containment. So maybe they did start the fire by accident. Then that's highly possible when the situation is dry as it is out there. But cutting up power to people, this is not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. People depend on electricity, and if they lose it, they can lose everything in their house as far as food, anything else goes. So that could be a serious situation. I know that a lady having a program quite often lives out there, and she was in a fire zone, and they said for a while you couldn't go outside for smoke around their house. You couldn't hardly see. So it is serious, folks. If you live in a fire zone, that could be very serious. And on top of the fires, poor Louisiana about ready to get hit again. I mean, they've been hammered this year. This is Storm Zeta. Hurricane coming in. It's supposed to be, I think, hitting sometime today or tomorrow. I believe it is. So it's going to hit right in Louisiana, Florida border, and that area, it looks like, maybe Alabama. But it's going to spread over across the Florida, the western side of Florida. But Louisiana, Melody, has been hammered this year with these storms. I don't remember how many storms they've had so far this year, but there's been a lot of hurricanes coming in. And this is, you know, we're in October already, and it's still coming in. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, I know.
That poor state's been hammered to pieces. You know, they've lost a lot of the crops down there, the sugar cane, different things they've lost. It's just been hammered.
It really has. And what no one is talking about is the tourism for New Orleans. I mean, you know, that place is almost like a ghost town. And so, I mean, there might be areas across this country that seem to be getting back. You might see it in building and so forth. But then you have other areas like New Orleans, Vegas. It ain't happening. Yeah. And it affects a lot of people, and eventually those numbers are going to start flowing through, and you know, there's a lot of talk about a reset coming January 1. Well, I don't know, I look to more people, the moratorium for the landlords, the tenants. I think that's a bigger issue at that point. It's we've got troubled times coming, and I'm just not talking about the virus. And let's stay distracted ignore everything.
If there were a reset, that would be worldwide. Am I correct?
Not necessarily.
You don't think it would be?
Well. I mean, you would think it would be, but I don't think anybody really knows how it's going to be, because it's never been done before on such a large scale. I mean, when you have the U.S., I think people need to redefine what they think a reset is. When you have the U.S. dollar that is used for trade, what, 85%? A financial help me out here, Butch. I'm getting old at 40.
are you about 40?
You know,
already?
Financial financial transactions are done in the US dollar. So, I mean, if we were to have a reset, yeah. But I think before we have that reset, you're going to have a default on the debt. Now, is the default of the debt the same as a reset? No, I don't think it is. I think the reset comes from defaulting on the debt. But, I mean, we're just, you know, because we've never been there. We've had countries, other countries we can look to, who have defaulted on their debt, who exchange their currencies, but never one like the U.S. dollar. So I think the word reset is loosely used. I do believe the dollar is going to lose value. And remember, during the Great Recession, it dropped to 72. We're still at 93. So, I mean, we got a long way to go just to get to where we were in 2000 on that dollar. And you got to remember what was happening at that point in time. Just where was your food? Where was your gasoline and everything? Times will be tougher this time around. So it's going to happen. We know Donald Trump. And again, if he loses this election, is he going to reset the treasuries? That's, you know, you could also use the reset not as currencies, but resetting the treasuries, revaluing the treasuries. He's already said he's going to do that. Or that's what needs to be done. Is he going to do that before he would leave in January? I mean, there's a lot of things that we just don't know. And that's why it's so important to prepare. Get your money out of the dollar.
Absolutely.
Convert those dollars. Because no matter how you look at it, whether it be global, whether it be here, I personally believe there's going to be different tiers of currencies. You're going to have a global trading currency. I believe that's still going to be the basket of currencies. They need to stabilize the currencies from the manipulation. So, yeah, I think the gold will go in there. You're going to have a domestic currency. It could still be the U.S. dollar. It could just be who knows? You can go back and look at the Weimar Republic. You could look at Argentina. You can go look to Mexico. You know, heck, the Iraqis, they're still waiting to get their dinar revalued. So it's everybody
true.
Becomes millionaires. That ain't happening. So
that's true.
Again, we live in times where we just don't know the sequence.
Then, you know, that's a good point. We don't know the sequence, but the debt will not be paid. It will
the
be defaulted on sooner or later. It cannot be paid. We know that.
We know that, and that's why we stick to the basics of everything. Because if you don't stick to the basics of everything, you get lost. It gets convoluted. It gets, you know, you can... And I could debate any story. They're all opinions. But if you stick to the facts and the fundamentals, then you know what where we're headed. And you can look at everything happening around us and see that we're getting a little bit closer. That something's going to break. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be the election. It could be January 1. And I've looked up some of these reports that there is a global push. There's a global push for cryptocurrencies from governments and central banks. There's from the IMF and all your global elites. They're all planning on what's happening after this COVID thing gets through, which would be January 2021. They're already making plans. So I think you should start making your plan.
Yes, absolutely. Quickly.
And that's what
no one talks about.
Quickly.
I mean, there's not a lot of time left, to my opinion, to make plans. You better do it now.
Yes. 800-375-4188. Is that what you were waiting for, Butch?
1-800-375-4188.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today, and I hope you join us tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Sweet sorrow.
How about that?
You know you'll always remain in my heart. Good night, sleep tight, and pleasant dreams to you. Here's a wish and a prayer that every dream comes true. And now till we meet again, adios, au revoir, I'll be the same. Good night.